to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, I was praying, asking the Lord about tonight. Well, the passage we're going to read just kind of jumped out of my mind. And I asked him again about, I didn't even open my Bible, just this passage jumped out at me. And I asked him again about tonight, and he said, well, you have the passage, just go and read it. And I said, okay, I can do that. So I turned here and I began to read. I already knew what it said, but, you know, it's always, you can rely on your memory, but there's something about reading it as well. So I turned and I began to read this, and let's just read verses we've read many times before, but there's more that God wants us to see here. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I thought at first that I was going to be sharing with you about this whole thing of we beheld His glory, because the Lord did show me some things about that. But that'll be for another message. What we're going to focus on is really something that's beyond human comprehension, quite bluntly. And it's a thing that we have to accept by faith. And it can almost seem like we don't know how to accept it by faith. But just look at this with me. It says in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then if you jump in verse 14, it says, and the Word was made flesh. Then you jump back in verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now as you look at this, this word, Word, three times it appears in verse 1, and one time it appears in verse 14. This word, Word, is the word logos, or logos, you know, depends on how you want to pronounce it. But the word logos, the most simple definition, what is said, rhema, the word rhema is very similar to the word logos, very similar. But rhema implies not just something that's spoken, but more of an understanding of the meaning of what is spoken. Well, here in verse 1, let's just use this definition of logos and read it like this. In the beginning was that which is spoken, and that which is spoken was with God, and that which is spoken was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by... Now, what's this next word? Him. Not logos. Him. So what we have here in verse 3 is a direct connection between that which is spoken and Him. In fact, the way that this is structured, the word logos, or the word, that which is spoken, is equal to Him. Now, again, with human logic and human understanding, this makes no sense. It is impossible for a Him to be equal with something that's spoken. Now, again, in human terms. But it says that the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. In other words, you cannot separate that which was spoken from God. Because thinking in terms of just something that is produced from your mouth, if that which is spoken comes from God, it originated from God, therefore you can't separate it from God. Just like tonight, what I'm speaking, you can't separate these words from me because they're coming out of me, if this makes any sense. But then in verse 3, this whole thing takes a twist. And it says, all things were made by Him. Now, it should have said, if you're going to be, you know, proper with your English grammar, it should have said, all things were made by that which was spoken. But it doesn't say that. It says, all things were made by Him. And then in verse 14, we get a little bit of clarification. And that which was spoken was made flesh. Or one way to paraphrase it is, that which flesh was made to house that which was spoken. And there are many different ways that we could go on and paraphrase this. But essentially, here's what we have. God is telling us that which is spoken is actually a hymn, and that this hymn is God and has been with God since the beginning. And the beginning he's talking about here is at the moment creation existed, the Word existed with God and had already been with God. The Word didn't come into existence just because creation, Genesis chapter 1, took place. The Word was already there. And so God is saying, the Word has always been with me, is equal to me, is me, and by Him all things were made. But not only that, the Word became flesh, or Word joined with flesh, or flesh was made to house the Word, or, you know, and on we could go. So we're being presented with something that we're just supposed to accept because it doesn't make sense. Yet, according to God, it does make sense. And He says, in the beginning, everything was made by me, by my word, by Him, and we're all the same. Okay, God, whatever you say, I'll take you at your word. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, that means the very thing that created all that is climbed inside flesh and dwelt among people. Now, that's pretty heavy. In other words, the Word created the container and then climbed into it. And if you read in other places, it talks about how that everything that's been created is sustained by the power of His Word. So the Word created the container, then climbed into the container, and then sustained the container. Heavy. This will keep you awake at night if you really start thinking about it. I do not understand this. That's because you're not deity. If we were deity, this would be a no-brainer. I mean, it's like, well, sure, I understand how that could be, but we don't. Because we're not deity. We don't have deity brains, you know, thinking of it in those terms. So somehow, the Word brought everything into existence and then became a part of the existence. And then we know the story that, you know, it was Jesus and so on and so forth. Now, I want you to think about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. How that Jesus went around doing all kinds of wonderful things. Now, we know He had a lot of great teachings and so forth, but let's think a minute about some of the things that He said. And we won't go back and look through all the different Gospels. I'll just mention some, and you'll remember them. Might not remember the passages, but you'll remember them. Remember the fellow comes to Him and he says, my servant, and then another time, my daughter, you know, sick, about to die. And remember Jesus spoke. Remember that? He spoke. Remember how that there was this little girl that had died, and Jesus said, now listen, she's not dead, she's asleep. Everybody started laughing at Him. And He speaks to her, and He says, you know, little girl, I say unto thee, arise. And she came back. Remember Lazarus. Roll back the stone, Lazarus come forth. Lazarus comes forth. Remember how people would come to Him for healing, and He would speak to them their healing, and the healing would manifest, you know, take up your bed and walk, and so on and so forth. And remember the lady that was, 18 years, bowed over, and He said, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity, and she was healed. So over and over again, Jesus is speaking things, and these things happen. Okay, now let's just divert for a moment and consider this. Just think along these lines. As we examine Jesus and what He did, and as He's going about doing all of these things and speaking these things over people's lives, knowing what we know about Jesus, was He kingdom-minded or was He self-minded? Kingdom-minded, obviously. He said, I only speak what I hear my Father tell me to speak. I only do what my Father tells me to do. And He went about preaching and teaching the things of the kingdom of God. So He was kingdom-minded. Now, if He was kingdom-minded, what does that say about the words that He spoke? they were kingdom words. That means that with him being kingdom-minded and having kingdom purpose in his life, the words that he spoke were kingdom words. Now again, let's think about some of the things that he did. The lady that was bowed over, he spoke, "You're loosed from your infirmity." Those words then were kingdom words, birthed out of a kingdom purpose and a kingdom mind. And take up your bed and walk. Kingdom words, kingdom mind, kingdom purpose. Remember our message Sunday night? We were talking about Jesus spoke to the storm. Okay? Kingdom words coming out of kingdom mind and kingdom purpose. And that the story about the storm where he spoke, "Peace be still," and the storm stopped. And right, you know, on their way over to the Gadarenes, and where Jesus cast the devils out of that man. Kingdom purpose was to get to the other side of the sea, to get this man delivered and so forth. Because when you read the story, I mean, he went over and did this thing and then left. He didn't hang around that area. So the kingdom purpose was to go over there and do what he did. He spoke the kingdom words and went on to the next assignment. So wherever Jesus went and whatever he did and whatever he spoke was birthed out of kingdom purpose, a kingdom mind, kingdom words. Now, let's consider something else. Look in Matthew chapter 17. Matthew 17 and verse 20. Now, in this story, this is where the some of the disciples tried to cast a demon out of this boy, and they couldn't. So Jesus comes along, casts the devil out, and they're asking, "Well, how come we couldn't do this?" So on and so forth. But in verse 20, he says, "Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." Now, he's essentially saying that you can speak to something and cause a change to take place. Now, just for the sake of this passage right here in Matthew 17, we could say that the mountain was the demon in that boy, okay, that man's son. And Jesus was saying, look, if your faith is where it ought to be, then you'll be able to speak to that mountain, go, and that mountain will go. And in this case, again, the mountain's represented by that demon. Well, the mountain could be many other things. I mean, it could be sickness, disease. It could be all kinds of problems, discord. It could be just a lot of things. We could come up with a big list. But when Jesus spoke to the and cast this demon out, it was kingdom purpose, kingdom-minded, kingdom words. So the purpose of the kingdom was for the demon to be cast out of this man's son. And since Jesus had a kingdom mindset, the words that he spoke would have been kingdom words. And the result, kingdom results. Now look over in Mark chapter 11. And in Mark 11, this verse really goes along a lot with what Jesus said in Matthew 17:20. In Mark 11, we'll just look at one verse here, 23. "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Now, what he just said here, were these kingdom words or self words? Okay, these were kingdom words. Now, if these were kingdom words, did they come out of a kingdom mindset or a self mindset? Kingdom mindset. And if these words are kingdom words from a kingdom mindset, then are these words connected to kingdom purpose or self-purpose? Kingdom purpose. Since Jesus is kingdom-minded, since Jesus is kingdom-driven, since Jesus is kingdom-spoken, that means this 23rd verse is kingdom-related. Now, when he says this, just like what he said over there in Matthew 17, when he makes this statement, he is speaking from a kingdom perspective. So in essence, we could kind of paraphrase a part of this along these lines. If you're kingdom-minded, with kingdom purpose, and you speak kingdom words, you're going to get kingdom results. This right here answers why a lot of Christians do not get what they're seeking. It's because they have self-purpose, self-mind, trying to couple that with kingdom words. And you're not going to get kingdom results. In this, let me show you another verse. Turn over to Matthew 24. Look at verse 35. Jesus says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Okay, well, why is that, Jesus? Because my words are kingdom words. And the kingdom is my kingdom. And God's already said it's going to last forever. Therefore, yeah, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Now, when he's talking heaven, he's not talking, you know, the place where God lives, that heaven, okay? What he's talking about essentially, if you look ahead into prophecy, new heaven and a new earth, you know, when everything's said and done, he's saying, in essence, what he's saying right here is this. Everything that you see is going to pass away, but my words shall never pass away. Now, when it comes to me wanting to see changes in my life, what words would make more sense? Self words or kingdom words? Kingdom words. Some of you guys, I don't know. This, and what's interesting is that he says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, that's logos. But my logos shall never pass away. Why is that? Because his logos is life. See? Now, if I'm facing a situation in my life, which do you think is going to work better in bringing about change in that situation? Complaining about how bad it is, or logosing that situation? Very simple. Well, it is tonight, but the next time a problem comes up, we'll find out. Yeah, there's reality. Everybody agrees when you hear a message like this. Why, absolutely, hallelujah, logos, words of God, praise you, Jesus Christ. But then when the problem comes up, what do you speak more? The problem, the aches, the pains, all this other? I'm not talking about ignoring what you're facing. I'm talking about if you want to bring a resolution to the situation, what works the best? Well, it's going to have to be kingdom words. It's going to have to be logos. It's going to have to be kingdom purpose, kingdom driven. It's going to have to be what God has said in His Word. Let me just interject this. Why then do people, Christians, come against the faith and confession message? With this in mind, just what we've covered so far, why do people come against that? Very simple. Well, we're not talking about the abuse part of it, okay? We're just talking about the Christians that say that, oh, you know, the all these crazy believers out there, they think you can just speak things and confess God's Word and everything's going to change and so on and so forth. If I'm speaking logos, if I'm speaking kingdom logos to bring about a kingdom result, And Jesus did it. Why should I not expect the same kind of results? The reason people criticize this is because they don't believe it. They flat out do not accept the fact that what Jesus has said here about moving mountains, this was not poetic. This was real. If you have financial problems, you can speak logos to your financial problems. Now, let me add a disclaimer to this. If you have financial problems, you need to ask yourself why you have financial problems. If you have maxed yourself to the hilt on your credit cards, and maybe this isn't the first time you've done this, you've borrowed until your eyeballs are barely above water. In other words, you have done some stupid things, foolish things. You thought you were doing something good for somebody, so you went into this great debt. You co-signed to help somebody else and went into great debt. You in the flesh, wanted to help a ministry, so you put yourself in debt. I mean, and on and on we could go. If you don't know how to handle your money, now this is going to come a shock. What I'm getting ready to say to some people, it will be a shock. If you don't know how to handle your money, one of the best things God could do is leave you in debt. Because you see, most people, they allow them, not most, many, some people, allow themselves to get up so far into debt, and when they're right at the lose everything on earth limit, they stop. They stop. They hide the credit card. All of a sudden, everything's desperate. So they stop. And this is a pattern. They get the debt down and pew. They go out and buy the new TV. Get the debt down and pew. Go on vacation. Get the debt down and pew. Something else. And there they are. They're right there all the time. Right there near the limit. So what's going to happen if God bails you out? Pew. Back up. You know what you need more than money? You need wisdom. You don't need money. You do not need, the money is not your problem. Wisdom is your problem. You're not operating out of wisdom, and so therefore you keep yourself in debt all the time. And because you keep yourself in debt, and you keep crying out, oh God, get me, help me, money, I need money, oh God, you know, what's that verse? God supplies all my need according to His riches in glory. Debt, I bind you in the name of Jesus. And you go on and on, and you're trying to logos this problem. Thing is, you've identified the wrong problem. The problem's not the debt. The problem is how you handle money. The wisdom. That's the problem. So what you need to be doing is logosing your mind, the way that you think. You need to be speaking, I have the mind of Christ. I operate by the mind of Christ. I operate in wisdom. You find wisdom verses, and you speak God's wisdom verses over you so that His wisdom begins to operate in your life. See? People, I'll give you another example. Healing. You know, why should God heal you of emphysema if you're not going to quit smoking? Why? I remember, I've told this before, but I don't remember, years ago before it was, you know, you couldn't smoke anywhere, like especially in hospitals. Used to, you could smoke in hospitals. When I worked at a hospital, and Bev, I'm sure you remember this too, you know, we both worked at the same place. You could smoke in the rooms. Patients could smoke in their rooms. And I remember I went in one time to get a patient for an exam, and the guy had cancer. And I kid you not, he had a tracheotomy and was smoking with a tracheotomy because cancer had eaten him up on the inside. And there he is puffing away with a tracheotomy. I mean, I wanted to slap the guy in the head and say, stupid, just why don't you just die and get it over with? You know, I got other patients that want to be healed. Yeah, he just, it was disgusting. So now why should we believe for healing? The problem is not the sickness. The problem is what caused the sickness. You see what I'm saying? So the first thing you need to deal with is what's causing it. Because if you get a manifestation of healing, what makes you think you're going to quit the smoking or the chewing or the, you know, snorting or whatever else you do? Do you understand what I'm saying? I know you do. So oftentimes what people are trying to do is speak to the wrong thing. They don't understand what they think they know what the problem is. It's kind of like they're speaking to the results and not what caused the results. You know, it's just like you're having problems with your kids. Well, why are you having problems with your kids? I mean, what's going on? What's going on is spiritual in nature. You're seeing the outward manifestation of a spiritual problem in the kids' lives. So what you need to do is logos that problem area before logosing the manifestation. I'm not saying you don't logos the drug use, but what's causing the drug use? It's not just the drug use, it's what's causing the drug use. So in the name of Jesus, you lying devils that are deceiving my son into thinking that using drugs is the right thing to do. Just like Jesus cast demons out of people and drove devils away, in the name of Jesus, I exercise authority over you. And I say, be gone in the name of Jesus. Depart from my son's life. See, you cannot change a person's will, but what you can do is have a spiritual impact on their life. What's going on around them? that's producing these results. Now, when we begin to speak the Word of God, it makes more sense for me to use Jesus' words, like what He said here in Matthew 24:35, for me to speak what He has said. See, His words are eternal, they are life. And it goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. It is Logos, which brought everything into existence. It is Logos that is going to last forever. So what do I want? A temporary solution or a permanent solution? I want a permanent solution. So the thing that I need to do is start Logosing my life and the lives of the people that are around me. You know how... If one person comes to me and says, you know what? Your breath stinks. Well, maybe I could listen to that, or maybe I just figure that person doesn't like me. But if I have more than one person come to me and say, you know, your breath is really gross, you could wilt flowers, buddy. I mean, I better start thinking about this. Now, logosing my breath won't do anything about it. The Lord will say, just get a breath mint. No, what I'm getting at is, sometimes the problems in our lives and the things that we face aren't other people, but it's us. Why don't you, and how come you aren't, and why didn't you? Well, it's not my fault. It's never the person's fault. You notice that? It's never the person. It's always everybody else's fault. How about if we logos this? Over there in Ephesians, where he talks about that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you would know, you know, the hope of his calling, blah, blah, blah. Well, Father, in Jesus' name, I say, may the eyes of my understanding be enlightened so that I would see me as you see me. Now, you start confessing that, you had better be prepared. He won't dump on you all at once, but he'll start showing you some things. Then you know what? He's not going to change you. You know who's going to change you? It's you. You know why? Because you're you and he's him. Now, he'll show you. That's just like you can go to AAA and get a map on how to get to Florida. They're not going to drive you down there. They'll give you the map, and then you have to get yourself down there. God will show you the problem, and he will show you how to deal with it, but he's not going to just step in. It's not that he doesn't want you changed, but consider how many times you have to let a child fall, a little kid fall, before they finally learn how to walk. And isn't it painful when you see little two-year-old Susie fall down? Now, they have a lot less further to fall than what we do. That's why they can get right back up and giggle and try it again and so on and so forth. But there comes a point in time where little Johnny or little Susie, they don't want to hold on to the table. They want to let go and they want to run to mommy and daddy. Okay, likewise, we have to get to the point to where we're the ones that make these changes. We pray, oh God, I wish you'd change him. Oh God, I wish you'd change her. Okay, what is it that you want changed and why? Now, have you ever considered the possibility that there might be some spiritual issue going on? You're not going to change their will. But one thing you sure can do is start speaking God's word. Father, I just say in the name of Jesus, may the eyes of their understanding be enlightened, that they would see what's going on here. Hey, listen, how many of you have figured out you can argue till you're blue in the face and it's not going to make a bit of difference? They don't change for you. They might change if they see the problem. And then ultimately, really, they're not so much changing for you, they're changing for themselves. And you know, for God. When you begin speaking logos into a situation, what you're really doing, it's like you are injecting God into that situation for change to start to happen. Now, once again, he's not going to change a person's will, but you'll have an impact on the circumstances surrounding that person. And if it's a demonic issue, you are definitely going to have an impact. You begin speaking the word. Hey, you remember when Lucifer got kicked out? All the angels and everything, you know, that rebelled, remember that? What do you think got them kicked out? You think God had to, you know, chase them around heaven with a billy club till they ran off? I mean, all he had to do was just sit there and say, go. Now, I don't know exactly what was done. But when you're dealing with God, all he has to do is speak it. and it happens. When you're dealing with stuff that you can't see, and probably none of us in here have seen demons. When you're dealing with something that you can't see, but you begin speaking the Word of God, you begin logosing this situation, and you become coming against the powers that are having an influence on these people's lives and so forth, then you are going to make an impact. Now let's talk about the financial thing again. Maybe you're not foolish with your money. Oh, I think we all make bad decisions from time to time. But let's just, generally speaking, you're not foolish with your money. You can impact your financial situation by speaking the Word of God. Thing is, if you don't believe it's going to work, then you're going to seek for all other kinds of answers to make a change in your financial situation. But the more that you speak, the more that you logos your financial situation, coupling it with the mind of Christ and God's wisdom, you're going to be able to have an impact on what's been impacting you and your financial situation. Maybe you need a new job. Maybe you need to change careers. Maybe you need to change employment fields. Instead of working in the A industry, maybe you need to work in the Z industry. But you see, in your mindset, all you see is what's going on with you. But until you begin to capture what God sees, then it's going to be harder to make the decision concerning the finances. Father, may the eyes of my understanding be enlightened. I call my understanding enlightened, Father, that I understand what you understand concerning my finances. And I have the mind of Christ, therefore I think according to the mind of Christ, and the wisdom, I ask you for wisdom, I receive this wisdom because you give it to me liberally, you upbraid not because I'm asking, so on and so forth, etc. And so, and you begin speaking over your financial situations. Satan, your weapons to keep me bound financially, I say in Jesus' name, they will not prosper. It comes to an end. No weapon of financial problem that you form against me is going to impact my life. And I say in Jesus' name, all your plans, they end. And I say in Jesus' name, I walk in the prosperity that God wants me to walk in. And I have what God wants me to have. Because God does supply all of my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And according to His grace, He supplies abundantly everything that I need. I have all abound to every good work. And on we go. But see, most Christians, and I do mean most, they don't get this. Because it's like we don't grasp the fact that what's in here, this book, God's Word is eternal. Now, this Word's not going to change. Circumstances change. Circumstances spoken about in this book have changed. But the Word's never going to change. And until we as believers come to the place of understanding that when we begin speaking God's Word, it's like speaking God into our circumstances. It's like speaking God into our problems. It's like we're giving Him an open door to get involved in what's happening. Now, does that mean everything's going to change overnight? No, it doesn't. Because you see, one of the things that speaking God's Word will do, one of the things that logosing our problems will do, is help us in the area of our faith. Because Jesus, in essence, what Jesus said here in the Word was that your faith, your unbelief is what hinders the Word from being effective in your life. Well, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So the more that I logos my life and my situations is the more that I'm hearing the Word and the more that I hear the Word, the more faith is coming. And Jesus said one of the reasons that you don't get results is because of your unbelief. So what I'm doing when I begin speaking into my situations, I'm accomplishing essentially two different tasks. One, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And two, I'm speaking God's life into a dead situation. So now what does this mean for us as believers? What it means is this. If we're not going to speak God's Word, then why should we expect God's involvement? Think about this. How many times have Christians cried out, God, how come you're not? God, how come you're not? And yet, when you think about it, the answers are right here in the Word. If He says something like, by Jesus' stripes you were healed, is that not logos? Are those not kingdom words with kingdom purpose from a kingdom mindset? Absolutely. So then why should I think something else is going to work better than His Word? Now, don't misinterpret that to mean that we should never go to doctors or anything along those lines. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, if this Word lasts forever, then this is one thing that I can use in every situation that I'm facing. If I don't do this, since this is God's Word, this must be what He wants. Since this is God's purpose, this must be the desire He has for our lives. So if I will begin to take His Word and I will begin to logos my life and my situation, then here's the thing about it. I can expect change. You know why? Those aren't my words. They're the words of the person who created everything. So what I'm going to do then is I'm going to take these words that create universe, planets, stars, and everything else. I take these words and I say, so this is how I'll get results. And I take these words and I put them in me, replacing my words. I look in here, I see kingdom purpose. So that's what He wants done. That's what it's all about. Okay, I take kingdom purpose, I put it in me to replace self-purpose. And you're getting the image here. I begin speaking the kingdom words and I begin getting kingdom results. We have to come to the place, though, of convincing ourselves beyond any shadow of a doubt that this works. And even though you would... Let's go back to when you're dealing with people. Even though you would speak God's Word, logos, an interpersonal relationship that's lousy, you keep logosing. There's still no guarantee that they are going to change because you're dealing with somebody who could be fighting tooth and nail against God, hardening their heart, searing their conscience, all of those things, to where they just are not going to listen to God, the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, you. They won't listen to anybody. They just are they've stubbed up and they won't hear a thing. That doesn't mean they aren't hearing it. It means they're not going to receive it, because that's when you logos that situation, you are coming against whatever it is that's influencing them to do the wrong thing. And I'll guarantee you, sooner or later, on the inside of them, they're going to sense this isn't right. In some way, shape, or form, they're going to sense that the things they're doing, thinking, saying, whatever, are wrong. Doesn't mean they're going to respond. What it means, though, is that you've penetrated into that and they've come to the place of realizing, yeah, this needs to change. But out of their own pride and whatever else, selfish ambition, doesn't matter, whatever, they can still hold on to all the wrong. There's no guarantee they'll change, but you have the guarantee that you'll bring them to a place of confrontation, inner confrontation. So we cannot base the effectiveness on God's Word on whether or not everybody around us always changes. But I do know this. According to what I see in God's Word, and according to the example that I see through Jesus Christ, the more that I logos a situation, the more that I take God's words with God's purpose and God's mindset, and I begin to speak into that situation, things are going to change. They absolutely are going to change. Maybe not tonight, maybe not tomorrow, but I have a guarantee from His Word does not fail. So when I apply the kingdom words with the kingdom purpose, I am going to get kingdom results. Absolutely. Now, for each one of us that are hearing this message, what is God's kingdom purpose for you? Well, we know the general things, like to know His will, to fulfill His will, things like that. But specifically for you, yes, He wants you to be prosperous. He wants us all to be prosperous. But specifically for you, what is God's kingdom purpose for you? What is His will? What is it that He's wanting you to do? Along with all of the everything else that would apply to like anybody who's in the body of Christ, for you personally, what is God's kingdom purpose? And what is it that He wants you to do? Have you accepted that purpose for your life? Have you captured that purpose? And now, is it you? Is that purpose you? Just like Jesus said, I only speak what I hear and do what He says. Is that purpose you? And if that purpose is you, And if you have accepted this, the only way that you're going to fully see this thing accomplished is to kingdom word the kingdom purpose. And when you do this, you are going to succeed in God's kingdom. It's guaranteed. It has to work. It can't fail. He said so. He said, my word won't fail. It won't return void. It will prosper. So every single one of us, whatever God's purpose is for us, if we will couple that purpose with the kingdom words and logos, our life and our situation, we're going to see the results. It'll bring changes. And at first, some of the changes may not seem pleasant. But one thing's for sure, the logos will take you through. The logos will get you there. No matter what it is, the logos will work. Now, this is kind of a challenge because, let's face it, it's kind of easy to not logos what's going on. It's kind of easy, especially when you're dealing with people, it's kind of easy to get caught up in the circumstances and just, you know, want to beat the tar out of them. Yeah. Boy, did I get a witness here. Everybody yell, oh. About the closest I can see to that is taking a whip like Jesus did and chase them around. But what I'm getting at is, if we'll take this message to heart, I mean, this message had an impact on me even while God was showing it to me. If we'll take this message to heart and realize that His Word cannot fail, it can't. And that even if we're having to deal with, you know, tons of unbelief on the inside of us, if we keep logosing, we're chipping away at those granite boulders of unbelief. We're chipping away at the stuff that's inside of us that's keeping God's anointing from flowing through. His Word can't fail. It can't fail. So we keep speaking. We keep logosing. We keep speaking. We keep logosing. And we're going to see results. At first, you may just see a few results here and there, but eventually, you're going to start seeing results all the time. I see, to me, that gives me a lot of confidence, because when I sit around and I'm facing a situation and I don't know what to do, guess what? I can logos the situation. I can logos me to help me to know what to do. All I have to do is start speaking God's Word, and I know that I'm speaking the right thing. You say, Brother Martin, well, I mean, how long do you have to wait before you see results? Well, till you see results. I mean, I don't know how else to answer that. All I know is that God's Word works. It won't fail. And if we'll apply it, if we'll take this message to heart and make it a practice of our lives, we'll begin to see things change. Guaranteed. Absolutely guaranteed. So now I have the confidence to know that if I just focus in on His Word, because His Word is His purpose, and I begin to speak this, praise the Lord, I get results. Hallelujah. Devil can come at me with circumstances and try to convince me that, no, you won't get results. I can just tell him, yeah, I will. You really don't have much of a choice in this, Satan, because I'm speaking God's Word. You're speaking lies. And God's Word always works against your lies. So if I were you, I would just give up now, because I am going to keep hammering you until I drive you into submission. So if you enjoy the pain, hang around. But I will win. Hallelujah.